It is time for our featured segment. It is called Mic Check. And this morning, ladies and gentlemen, Jamaica, Jamaica, Jamaica. Minister of Health, Christopher Tufton, PhD, is now presiding over a health/humanitarian crisis in the public health sector that has been worsening for decades now. Pay attention, folks. So says the former executive director and former vice president of the Press Association of Jamaica, Mr. Hilton Dennis. He has arrived, Anthony. Please introduce our final Mic Check guest for 2022. Go ahead.
Well, as you said, Rascal, our special guest on Mic Check this morning. His name is Hilton W. Dennis, and he is a publisher and a former vice president of the Press Association of Jamaica. He has authored 6 books, including Jamaica College, A Sugarcane Planter's Legacy, 1721 to 2018, Howard Randolph Hamilton, CDQC, Born to Defend, The Fittest Man in the Industry, Derek A. Gibson, and Success is My Only Sickness, Walter Grant. And he has also served as honorable executive member of the Missionary Church Association of Jamaica's National Men's Fellowship. And he was a writer, presenter of RGR 94 FM Look at Life Weekly Christian Brethren Assembly religious broadcast. So we welcome Hilton W. Dennis to Grooving Radio this Saturday morning.
Good morning, Mr. Dennis. How are you?
I am fine. Good morning to you and your listeners. It is a privilege, honor for me to be your final guest on Mic Check
in
2022.
As we close out the year and as we look at health in Jamaica, we have taken a look at many things in Jamaica over the last 12 months. We have taken a look at education. We have looked at crime and violence. We have looked at tourism, you name it, the economy, corruption.
Squatting.
This morning, <Yeah. laughs> we want to take a look, and based on an editorial in the Jamaica Gleaner this past week, and it read, pay attention, Christopher Tufton. This morning, we want to talk about the humanitarian/health crisis that we're looking at in Jamaica. And it's interesting, Mr. Dennis, because recently an headline ran in the Sunday Gleaner about the condition of our healthcare facilities in Jamaica. Why did you write this article, sir? Talk about this.
Okay, so what prompted me to write was Minister Tufton saying that he was going to have removed from the hospitals patients referred to as social cases, meaning that their relatives are supposed to have abandoned them.
Mm-hmm.
They have completed their treatment,
mm-hmm.
and they have nowhere to go, but they cannot take up space in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So they will have to be put out. He didn't say put out where, and I, having greater knowledge of what the situation really is, mm-hmm. I decided to sum up that crisis that has been developing for decades in the public health system,
mm-hmm.
right? And to define who the real patients are that are being discharged,
mm-hmm.
recklessly,
mm-hmm.
as I put it in the article. So that article, pay attention, Minister Tufton. I felt that the greatest crisis facing Jamaica right now is in the public health system. It means the health of its nationals is at risk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, if the health of your population is at risk, then everything else is at risk. So, and I didn't just highlight the problem. I highlighted what I know for certain
mm-hmm.
is a good permanent fix that the resources exist for. You don't have to borrow money.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to wonder how you're going to finance it. It is right there, because the source of that money is from another area of injustice relating to shelter, the National Housing Trust, because the National Housing Trust represents another great area of injustice in Jamaica to the workers.
Right.
Now, whose monies are contributed to it.
Now, before we get to the solution, though, because here it is, and I'm wondering, because Jamaica should not be having any money problem when it comes to health care. And let me tell you why. Recently, the Auditor General had a finding that some $400 million has been mishandled by the Ministry of Health, and those monies got to Jamaica during the heights of the COVID-19 pandemic. Then we saw an article recently about there's no water at the Bustamante Children Hospital in Jamaica, and this is related now to the crisis that we are seeing. Mm-hmm. And the conditions that we are seeing in our hospitals in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. You said
Did you see the article about Shaggy at the $100 million raised 2 years ago?
Right.
We all hand over, and they're trying to vilify him over it, trying to tarnish his reputation for.
Indeed, we saw that one. But you said this has been going on for decades. Mm-hmm. What have you identified over the last couple of years while we are here today?
Well, remember, the first thing is this. Right? Your population has grown exponentially since independence. Okay? And independence we're talking about is 1962. Jamaica has been self-governed from 1944, 78 years now. Right? You haven't built a new hospital. Okay? You have created Portmore, a community. Well, don't call it a community. Right? But you have created, right, this space that is now large enough to be a parish, and you never built one hospital in it. Just houses, and commercial establishments. But from the 60s, you have only replaced two hospitals, one in Mandeville and one in Falmouth. You have renovated a few others, right, at a very, outlandish cost that could build new hospitals. You have Cornwall Regional Hospital that had an air quality problem that you said you went into remedy, and you're now gone into the billions of dollars of expenditure, and you still can't fix that problem, okay? Mm-hmm. And the money you have spent could have built a new hospital. Mm-hmm. You have had people offering, private persons offering to build hospitals that are not being responded to for whatever reason. So it means that, you don't really care. But yet when the COVID pandemic came, you were willing to put up field hospitals. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. You were willing to build field hospitals. I'm on the phone. I have to come back to you. I'm on the air. Yes, you were willing to put up field hospitals. Mm-hmm. One moment, please.
Mr. Dennis?
Just one moment, please. Okay, yes. So let's continue.
Okay, but you don't keep it here.
I'm on the phone.
You put it back where it goes.
Go ahead, Mr. Dennis.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Right. So what I'm saying is this, right? We have not built a new hospital for that long.
Hold on, Anthony. I think we have lost Mr. Dennis. Let me get him back on the phone lines there, Anthony. And, you know, when you look at healthcare in Jamaica, Anthony, while I get Mr. Dennis back on the line, it's in a deplorable condition, huh?
Yeah, man. In fact, I mean, I'm just coming back from Jamaica. And one of the things I was told while I was there that in order to receive treatment at some hospitals, they're saying that patients have to bring their own medical supplies. I mean, it's kind of hard to even conceive about this, and we definitely would like to talk to Mr. Dennis, get his thoughts and opinions about this, because you're kind of going to hospital to be treated, and for you to be thinking about bringing your own medical supplies. I mean, what if there's an emergency and you don't have time to go out and to buy these supplies? What if you're vacationing in Jamaica?
Are we there?
Yeah. Hello? Yeah, so if you're vacationing and, you know, something, God forbid, you met in an... It would really be... It would be inconceivable to think that you have to get your own medical supplies.
Yeah, man, we're back with Mr. Hilton, Dennis. Continue, Hilton. Mr. Dennis.
Right. So I just outlined to you. The main thing is you have not built new hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Your population has swelled. And therefore you have a crisis of bed space. And you're trying to say it's because of these social cases that people have abandoned their families. Why you have a shorter bed space? During the height of the COVID pandemic, you were intending to set up field hospitals at the National Arena and other places. If the crisis is so great, right, why wouldn't you set up those field hospitals even on the compound of some of the existing hospitals,
mm-hmm,
so that you can extend the space that is available,
mm-hmm,
right? I know, as I mentioned in the article, of cases of very critically ill persons who need long-term care,
mm-hmm,
being discharged.
Mm.
Being discharged to families who have no training in healthcare, who have no facilities. So you're sending home these people to die.
Mm.
You're ruffling the lives of your nationals. You are playing God and deciding who should live and who should die. And I cited two cases of a person sent home in that manner who ended up dead.
Wow. So who's responsible?
Like those.
Okay, so now, when you have patients being sent home, Ilton Dennis, and they're ending up dying, who does the responsibility fall on?
It comes right back to the state. It is negligence,
mm-hmm,
on the part of the state. But what is sad about that? You bring a case for negligence, the state is held liable. It's the taxpayers who pay. The same victims of this negligence end up in a roundabout way paying.
Mm-hmm.
It's the government only has responsibility for taxes that are paid by the citizens. And even when you get loans from multilateral agencies and so on, the repayment is by the taxpayer.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
It's a wicked, vicious circle.
Now, Anthony, while you were off the line, Anthony spoke about something he saw recently when he was in Jamaica. Anthony, talk about it.
Dennis, I'm just returning from Jamaica. And when I was there, I was told by not one, but a few different persons that in order to receive treatment at some of our hospitals, especially in the rural areas, that patients may have to bring their own medical supplies. I know it's happened in Westmoreland and a few other places. Can you speak to this, and is there any truth to this?
That has become standard operating procedure, what they call SOP. Yeah. Goes into the public hospital. A prescription is written from day one. Most of the drugs, most of the medicine needed to treat your elders do not exist.
Hmm.
Even though you have a drug for the elderly program, and there is a special pharmacy operation,
mm-hmm,
for chronic illnesses, diabetes, hypertension, and so on, where they can get the drug for free, and so on. In a general sense,
mm-hmm,
most of the medication, the government has authorized, regularized a system, right, where prescriptions are written and given to these poor families for their relatives. And if they cannot find a means to fill it at a private pharmacy, which to me is a level of corruption as well,
mm-hmm,
because there's some collusion, there's some complicity, you're now feeding,
mm-hmm,
the private pharmaceutical industry. You can't, your relative's life hangs in the balance.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of one comatose person I cited in the article who died, right, the day he went into the hospital and had to be, life signs had to be brought back by shocking him, right?
Mm-hmm.
He needed to go and get radiology tests, you know, MRI, whatever, to see what was going on with the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And he was ordered to go, his relatives were ordered to accompany the ambulance from Spanish Town Hospital,
mm-hmm,
to a private facility in Portmore to pay thousands of dollars for this procedure,
mm-hmm,
right? In order for the results to come back to the hospital to determine what the next course of treatment for him would be. If they didn't have the means to do it, that was the end of him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. So this is a real crisis that is happening on the ground in Jamaica now, because...
real crisis. Am I worried about the collusion?
Mm-hmm.
Because you see, it is an incentive to set up private medical facilities.
Mm-hmm.
If people can't afford the treatment in a private hospital or private facility, how are they going to be able to afford to fill prescriptions and pay for outside medical treatment, mm-hmm, while the relatives in the hospital?
You know, Mr. Dennis, it is said that there was a time in Jamaica when every parish in Jamaica had an hospital. I don't know. I don't know.
Fit in that.
I don't know when all of that changes, and you talk about no new hospitals have been constructed in Jamaica in quite some time. I must say kudos to Miss Beverly Nichols and her Push Start Foundation. She gave $1 million to kickstart the renovation at Chapleton's Community Hospital, which was recently reopened after being closed for many, many years. And again, if it wasn't for Miss Beverly Nichols and her Push Start Foundation, that hospital probably would be sitting there in limbo as we speak. And just to think about this, listeners, that folks are going to hospitals in Jamaica, and there's nowhere for them to even sleep. There's no beds. Mm-hmm. No beds available. But yet still, the Ministry of Health could be cited for mishandling so much monies. That's a shame, Ilton Dennis. Mm-hmm.
It is not widely publicized that Beverly Nichols and her foundation mm-hmm. had that much to do with the renovation of Chapleton. Mm-hmm. You would think it was a government-led initiative, right?
No,
and at the same time, uh-huh. you have a plethora uh-huh. of complaints of other organizations mm-hmm. sending medical supplies to Jamaica mm-hmm. and having a difficulty clearing those supplies because the government-run customs insists on, insist on duties being paid on those supplies, mm-hmm. right, at commercial rates. Insist mm-hmm. on treating them as commercial goods imported for resale.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that they don't know and they don't understand, and the intervening minister cannot act with speed and alacrity to clear up so that these supplies that can, lag for years.
Now, let me bring you up to speed, Mr. Hilton Dennis. Let me bring Anthony Turner up to speed and bring the listening audience up to speed about Miss Beverly Nichols and her $1 million initiative. Yes, through the American Friends of Jamaica, $1 million came from the Push Start Foundation. $1 million from Miss Beverly Nichols' hard working money. And we here at Grooving Radio has been tracking that since the beginning of this project. And we tracked it to the end. It was only a week ago that the executive director from the American Friends of Jamaica gladly came back here to talk about the reopening of the Chapleton Community Hospitals. And we here at Grooving Radio had two members on the ground witnessing the handover, and there is a wing that was constructed, and it is called the Beverly Nichols Wing, Anthony Turner. Mm-hmm. So we like to, when we highlight these things on Grooving Radio, we brought back the evidence that all of this was done. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the final presentation on Mic Check this Saturday morning. Humanitarian health crisis in Jamaica. Pay attention, as Mr. Hilton Dennis is now warning the Minister of Health, Mr. Christopher Tufton. This has been happening for years, where the hospitals in Jamaica, they just keep declining and going further and further down. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do, Ilton Dennis? How are we going to correct all of this?
Right. Point you must emphasize is that the people we're talking about who are suffering are your relatives and mine.
Mm-hmm.
Your family, my family back in Jamaica mm-hmm. are the ones, right, mm-hmm. who are in this situation, this crisis. I proposed in that article a solution. Most of the workers in Jamaica are marginally employed or slightly above margin. They cannot afford, after involuntarily contributing to the National Housing Trust, they cannot afford the National Housing Trust mortgage. They have to join together.
Mm.
And even joining with family is risky. Mm-hmm. So they will end their working career 30, 40 years later without owning a home, mm-hmm. even through the National Housing Trust,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said that that is an injustice because their money is borrowed. All they get back at several years interval is a non-interest refund mm-hmm. of their contribution.
Mm-hmm.
So their money is borrowed for the convenience of the higher end workers, right?
Mm-hmm.
The government and private developers.
Mm-hmm.
So I propose that the housing trust be compelled to fund setting up, right, a national endowment commission for health and retirement.
Mm.
And that commission would be mandated to lead in building new hospitals and retirement communities, right?
Mm-hmm.
That these persons who would never own a mortgage normally or so on still have social security, right?
Mm-hmm.
Still have a secure retirement,
mm-hmm.
and can die and finish their lives with some dignity.
Mm.
And that it's easy to build. If the housing trust that the government has taken hundreds of millions from for budgetary support that should not have been taken, right, that private developers have been funded from to build houses for massive prices, right, that the average person can't afford, right, it should be compelled to fund this, and then you will have the private public partnership where the capital market and so on is engaged to ensure the funding is secured and solid, and you will have private operators running hospitals attached to teaching universities. You don't have this one monopoly with the University of the West Indies, but you can have other medical schools.
Mm-hmm.
You can have your professionals who have had to leave to seek employment overseas, right, after paying so much for their education in Jamaica. You will have them staying back in Jamaica, and you'll have nationals of other countries wanting to come to Jamaica, and you'll also have a buoyant health tourism industry, right? So there's no question about the viability of this. If the minister, if the government really cares, they would, grasp this recommendation with both hands.
Right. You know, with the few minutes we have left, because it's the final presentation of the year, for once, I said recently that I went out on the limb to defend Mr. Orville Burrell, a.k.a. Shaggy, when the Minister of Health called him out the other day on the monies that his organization, Shaggy and Friends, Hearn, at their last concert in Jamaica. And he explained what the money was collected for. And now you have the ministry calling out Orville Burrell, while the ministry itself has been cited by the Auditor General in Jamaica of mishandling millions and millions of US dollars. How hypocritical that is, Mr. Hilton Dennis?
Sorry, I missed the last part of what you said.
Okay, recently when the Minister of Health, Mr. Tufton, was calling out Orville Burrell, Shaggy, on the monies that he earned at Shaggy's and Friends. And I'm saying that how could the minister be doing that while his ministry was cited by the Auditor General for mishandling $400 million U.S. dollars? And I'm saying
the only way I see he could be doing that, you see, is to create a distraction from what he has been cited for. Which is far greater than what he would. But I didn't hear him calling out Shaggy so much as to say a lot of time has passed and the money still hasn't been received, even though the condition for receiving it hasn't been met, which is to build a facility that can house the equipment the money was raised for.
That money, again, and I think everybody has it wrong. And that's why I was asking that if Mr. Burrell will come and talk to us. He said the monies was earned to purchase beds. They actually changed it because there wasn't any more space to put any more beds. So then they said they were going to do a building. They were going to extend a building.
An intensive care unit.
Yes.
Which way it goes.
Mm-hmm.
You want more beds or you're going to build an intensive care unit. You need a space for whatever the money is supposed to provide.
Yes.
And the responsibility to provide the space is the government.
Indeed.
So you can't be making it look like, you raise it. And because of that, the concert hasn't been held, right?
Mm-hmm.
To raise more money on top of that money. It makes no sense because you're busy trying to make the benefactor look dishonest.
Indeed.
I don't get it.
Indeed. Now,
right? So that only deepens the crisis.
Now, where do we go from here, Hilton Dennis? Where?
Well, National Endowment Commission for Health and Retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? that will fund all the expansion, the development, the improvement of the public health system in Jamaica, right? Quite easily. If the interest of the people is what the government of Jamaica is concerned with, they will move with speed and alacrity to accept the recommendation and to engage in discussing how to quickly execute. If the interest is about themselves, then they will do nothing. A week has passed.
Indeed.
There has been no communication. I only get communication from the side of others who are concerned or who have been affected. The types like Beverly Nichols, the types like another gentleman in Washington who is waiting a year now for a response from the government about building a new 150-bed hospital and 1,500-unit retirement community.
All right.
Waiting a year now for a response.
Okay, hold your thoughts there. The computers are going to take over. When we come back after the break, we're going to spend 5 minutes to wrap up this conversation, because I want to talk about even the Jaja Foundation and them raising funds to buy an ambulance to send to Jamaica. But they're now concerned about how do they clear the ambulance when it gets to
there
Jamaica.
There you go, because they go have problems.
Yeah, man. Stay where you are. We'll be back in 3 minutes. It is our final presentation in the year 2022. Our final mic check. Another thought-provoking conversation with Mr. Hilton Dennis.
And this is the original Chronics representing, and I say, you're listening to Groovin' Radio with the original Ras Clem on 93.5 WVIP FM. Keep it groovin', and we will keep it moving all the time, every time. Ease out.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are at that moment. I welcome you back to the final 24 minutes of our Groovin' Radio's presentation for the entire year of 2022. We are in our featured segment. It is called Mic Check. Our very special guest this Saturday morning, he is no stranger to Groovin' Radio. He is the former executive director and former vice president of the Press Association in Jamaica, Mr. Hilton Dennis. A health/humanitarian crisis in Jamaica is the conversation this morning. Anthony Turner, our writer and entertainment reporter, is also a part of the conversation. Gentlemen, welcome back.
Yes.
You know, Hilton, before we took the break, and we have 5 minutes for this final piece, before we took the break, you spoke about an individual in Washington who would like to build an hospital in Jamaica. What is the hold up there? What is the pushback from the government?
Okay. And he has written everybody who matters, right? So he emailed me the instant he saw my article in the Sunday Gleaner, right? And he said he first proposed through prominent business persons in Jamaica, right? Persons who you'd even described as part of the gentry. They encouraged him, right? And he's connected to the highest level of the government of the U.S., by the way. So they encouraged him and his partner to invest in this hospital, which would be a teaching hospital connected to a major U.S. university as well. And so he sent his proposal to the Minister of Health, to the Minister of Finance, to the Minister of Tourism, to JAMPRO. And when he got no follow-up from them, he sent to the Prime Minister. And he has been waiting 1 year now, he says, without getting any reply or anything. And his friends in the Jamaican private sector are still encouraging him to hold out. When the article came out as well, there is a chat group of doctors. Doctors were the main ones responding to me and regaling me with stories of the horrors, the atrocities in the health system that they have to work in, the public health system. And, you know, one of them asked around, like you're doing a poll, who believes the minister is going to respond positively, you know, and he jokingly said not one hand went up.
Wow.
That's not good.
It is not good. And before we wrap up this morning, Hilton Dennis, you know, we have gotten, we here in the diaspora, we've gotten so many pushback from Jamaica on all levels when it comes to help in Jamaica. And just look at what's happening right now with healthcare industries around the world. We may be looking at a strike here in terms of nurses in New York City, in the state of New York, coming within the next 10 days. You look at how we may be looking at another coronavirus pandemic looming again, coming out of China. And we're offering to help Jamaica and the health sector, and we're still getting pushback. Well, one of the foundation that we engage here throughout the years, the last couple of years, the Jaja Foundation, they have now raised enough funds to purchase an ambulance to send down to Western Jamaica. When I spoke to Dr. Trevor Dixon this past week, who, by the way, will join us sometime next week to talk about an initiative they now have with the American Foundation, the American Friends of Jamaica, they're now struggling to raise funds to clear the ambulance when it gets to Jamaica. Mm-hmm. And what they're worried about was an ambulance was sent from Canada recently to Jamaica. And they wanted to charge whoever sent the ambulance an extraordinary amount of money. Well, the person refused to pay, and they took the ambulance, as they say, and auctioned it off. We have yet to see that ambulance on the ground in Jamaica. As we wrap up this morning, Ilton Dennis, what are you looking forward to for 2023? Final question.
Well, what I'm looking forward to is for the diaspora to be more assertive in Jamaica, because I don't know how we got to the stage where we allowed ourselves to be treated as out there.
Second class citizens.
Most of the persons in the diaspora are only permanent residents overseas. They're not citizens of any other country. Mm-hmm. They don't have any vote in any other country but in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. They only went away to get opportunity, better their lives and the lives of their family back there. So they still have a say in Jamaica, contrary to what the government tries to make them believe. So, you know, we have to know what the real needs are, how best to meet it, and be more assertive in ensuring that those needs are connected with the support that is sent. And the first thing that needs to be done is the diaspora needs to separate itself, right, from that patronizing connection that it has with the government through this Global Diaspora Council. What is that? That's rubbish. The diaspora needs now to form an independent organization, right?
Yes, sir.
That the government wants to talk to.
Yeah, and must talk to.
The government acknowledges is the biggest factor in why the economy has been able to survive austerity, the COVID pandemic, everything, why families are held together, why institutions in health, in education continue operating. It's because of the diaspora contribution.
Indeed.
And that cannot be limited to remittances for, you know, looking after families back there.
Well,
the diaspora has to be more assertive in 2023.
And that's what
I want to be part of that process.
Indeed. And I've always said that, you know, it's time we have a real seat at the table, not just a seat at the corner of the table. We want a real seat at the table. And we
and you don't beg for it because you are entitled to it by the circumstance.
No, we're not going to beg for it either. Mr. Hilton
because
Dennis.
They see that's something that they have to accord as a privilege.
Indeed.
And then they will see why it should be accorded.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Mr. Hilton Dennis, I want to thank you so much for your contribution over the last 12 months here on Grooving Radio. We will continue our dialogue in 2023. All the best for the new year season, sir. And thank you. Thank you so much again for being for being so willing and able all the time when we call on you to come here. Health and humanitarian.
Going forward.
Yes, sir.
The word is empowerment.
Empowerment, my friend.
Empowerment through love.
Yes.
Okay. Best wishes to you and to your listeners.
All the best,
to Anthony
sir.
And all.
Yes, sir. Okay. All the best. You take care. Mr. Hilton Dennis, ladies and gentlemen, our final mic check presentation for the year 2022. Anthony.
Yes, sir.
Mic check has been a blast throughout the year. Our community engagement segment has been a blast throughout the years. Open forum community talk has been a blast throughout the year. Political talk and sports talk. Final talk segment for the year, Anthony. Your thoughts, real quick, because we have tickets to give away. Two more tickets to give away for the big ball tonight.
Well, I'm sure DJ Roar is feel blessed because of the great weather. I mean, the last time I went to his New Year's ball, it was sub-zero temperatures.
Wow.
And now he's having great, almost tropical weather in New York.
So, indeed.
Yeah, man, I certainly thank all the listeners who tuned in to us. Hope they were informed and educated, and we had something for everybody. I mean, we touched numerous topics. I know some of the guests, you know, it was a challenge to get guests each week, but, you know, you persevered, you did what you had to do, and we're joined by some really, really great guests.
Indeed.
And I'm just wishing for everybody, hope 2023 brings an abundance of opportunity. It will be a year that brings a lot of joy, prosperity, love, and blessings for all, and it will be an extraordinary year for each and everybody there and their family. So look forward to another great 2023 when it comes.
All right, stay where you are, Anthony. We have come to the end of all our talk segment for the year 2022, and ladies and gentlemen, we will join you live tomorrow for the start of the new year. Well, let me do this. Question number 4. Where did Chef Garfield and DJ Roy started doing their events? Where did Chef Garfield and DJ Roy started doing their events? 914-636-9847. I got a ticket for you. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, beg DJ Roy play that tune on your phone. Beg Salmon. Happy New Year, folks. The Boss, Barry Salmon. 914-636-9847. I got a ticket for the ball tonight.
Let go.
That's right.
Girl, take your arms about me. I need you so.
Indeed.
Sitting in the darkness of my lonely room.
Hold on now, Anthony, because here goes the phone lines again. Let me move to this call and says, good morning, caller, you're live.
Good morning.
How are you? You're live. Do you have do you have the answer for me? Where did DJ Roy and Chef Garfield started doing their events?
The Q Club.
Where?
way back.
Hold on. How long now you know DJ Roy? What is your name? What is your name?
My name is Sharon.
Sharon. Your name is Sharon.
Not Sharon.
Yes.
Sharon what?
Right. Not Sharon. Exactly.
Not Sharon. You're Sharon. Yeah, Jamaica, Sharon.
Right.
Okay. Well, Sharon. Well, you're absolutely right. It was the Q Club that they started doing their events. Congratulations. Groovin' Radio is sending you to the New Year's Eve ball. Text me the correct spelling of your full name, and I will respond to you, and your ticket is going to be at the door, courtesy of Groovin' Radio. Are you a regular listener to Groovin' Radio?
I certainly am.
Okay, well, save the date. Sunday, June 25th, the return of Groovin' in the Park, okay?
Oh, nice.
Okay,
very
my love.
Good.
Text me at 914-874-4299. Oh, Miss Jones, that's your name? 914-874-4299. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
One love.
Miss Jones.
Take care, Miss Jones. Take care, Miss Jones. Well, Anthony, I got one more ticket. One more ticket to give away. And here's the question. Let me play this red light from Barry Salmon.
Like
let me play this red light.
Red light.
The Boss.
I made a stop for tender.
Hold on now. Hold on.
Now it's getting so tight. Stuck right here again.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, Chef Garfield and DJ Roy have been doing this ball for 24 years. They have missed 2 years. Which are the only 2 years that DJ Roy and Chef Garfield has missed since they started? Well, I have to make it easy. 914-636-9847. 914-636-9847. Grooving Radio extending some love to Chef Garfield and DJ Roy this Saturday morning right here on our final broadcast for the year. Let me go to this line and see who's on the phone lines. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Caller, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning. You know, Anthony, I'm happy about this. All ladies. It's only ladies that have called all morning. Now, what is your name, young lady? What's your name? Good morning.
Judy.
Okay. Now, Chef Garfield and DJ Roy have been doing this ball for 24 years. They have missed 2 years. What are the only 2 years that they have missed?
2019...
in
COVID and 2020.
Uh-uh.
2021.
Okay. You just redeemed yourself. 2020 and 2021 are the only 2 years that Chef Garfield and DJ Roy has missed since they started the ball 24 years ago. You are indeed a winner, my love. Take this number down, 914-874-4299. That is 914-874-4299. You are a winner, Judith. You are a winner, and we are sending you to the ball. Grooving Radio is sending you to the ball.
914-874-4299.
Indeed.
So that's my full name, and I'll get the ticket at the door, you said?
Yes, your ticket will be in an envelope at the door, and you will be in the ball, courtesy of Grooving Radio.
Thank you. I listen to your program every day when you're on.
Thank you so much.
I get something before the year ends.
Indeed. Thank you so much. Keep supporting Grooving Radio. One love. One love.
Right here, I can't move, and the feeling shows. Come a fly, I've traveled a long way. Oh, hills and highways, I've had some bad days.
Well, Anthony Turner, we have all our winners. We have all our winners for the 5 tickets courtesy of Grooving Radio. Sending listeners to the ball tonight, the big New Year's Eve ball. The weather is going to be extremely good, ladies and gentlemen, above 50 degrees. We may see a little bit of light rain, but guess what? It is showers of blessing. So we say congratulations to Chef Garfield and DJ Roy. I heard the event is selling extremely well, Anthony Turner. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, in 2017, I think that was the last year I attended, it was one of the coldest in 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
That year, Freddie McGregor performed and brought fireworks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Freddie is recuperating in Florida. So,
Yeah. Look
forward to this year. I know it's going to be, sold out. What do you think, Raskin?
I think it's going to be a sold out affair. But before we go, Anthony, I want to thank you. I want to thank the supporting cast here at Grooving Radio. Andrea Bullins, for all that you do. I want to thank Christopher Roberts, Joan Lewis, and the team at the door. Restaurant, they're not advertisers, Anthony. They're our core sponsors. Without the Door Restaurant, we would not be able to present this program in the manner which we present it in. Bullseye Marketing and Promotion, the Smokehouse Restaurant, all the advertisers that have advertised with us over the years that we have been here. You, the listeners, and when you see us in the streets and what you tell us about our programming and what you like about our programming, if you value our programming, give us a call. Let us know. 914-874-4299. 914-874-4299. On behalf of all of us here at Grooving Radio, we'd like to say Happy New Year to each and everyone here at WVIP. 1460 WVOX, our AM station over there. All my brothers and sisters here here who are broadcasters and producers. If I won't call names, but I want to say happy New Year to each and every one. Every Saturday morning, I'm brought up at the top of the 9 o'clock hour by Reggae King Radio, and I hand off the baton to the Wake Up Radio team. Happy holidays, happy New Year's to the Wake Up Radio team. The Jam comes in at 1, Link Up at 6, and Sound Chat at 8 p.m. And this is how we roll through the entire Saturday here on 93.5. So happy New Year. It is my final broadcast in the year 2022. And if you don't know, now you know. Chronics will take us home.
Some things are just never said. No. Story of my life, ordinary person just like you. If you take a look inside, see the great things that people do. Changing lives day and night, but nothing I do ever makes the news. Still I have to do what's right, to the King of all kings, all praises due. Yesterday I was on a train.
Indeed.
A little boy asked me my name.
That's right.
He said, sir, I've seen you before, tell me who are you?
That's right.
Said I am a legend that you never heard of before.
That's right.
I said I am a liar
that you've never heard,
but you never heard me before. I am a hero that nobody celebrates. But if one person remembers my name, that means I made a change.
And you know, ladies and gentlemen, without my immediate family, I want to thank them. I want to thank them so much for allowing me the space and the time to share with you every Saturday morning and every Sunday evening. At times, it gets rough. It gets lonely here, you know. At times, it gets rough. And at times, I would like to give up. But my strength and my rock, Andrea, I want to thank you so much. I got some news earlier this year that maybe one day I'm going to share with the public. But you have held my hands and you have walked me through this year. And I look forward walking through many more years with you, my love. Love you so much. Anthony Turner.
Yes, boy, it's been a long year.
Yes,
you know?
We're done. Yeah, man, go ahead. We have to sign off.
We have to thank the family because they are the foundation. They are the ones who allow us to do what we do each week.
Indeed.
And we look forward to having all the listeners join us again for 2023 when it comes.
Indeed. Our final, thank you, Anthony. We'll talk next year. Our final presentation, got to thank Coffee, who was our musical present, we presented this morning right here. Got to say thanks to Miss Anne-Marie Grant, our final community engagement guest this morning. Miss Anthony Turner for Entertainment Report and for producing the bio each and every week for our mic check guests, and also our final mic check guest this morning, Mr. Hilton Dennis. Gerald B, I want to thank you so much, the engineer who works with us every Saturday morning. Wake Up Radio awaits you on the other side of the 11:30 hour. DJ Roy, Chef Garfield, congratulations. Big night tonight inside the Resort World Casino. Groovin' Radio is sending 5 of our listeners and your listeners to the big ball tonight. Until tomorrow evening, my name is Rastlem. Peace, love, and blessing. Thank you all so much for opening up your doors, your house, your business, your cars, your telephone, for listening to Groovin' Radio. Love you all. Peace, love, and blessings.